Welcome back to Overthink. We've taken a very long break. We have a new team now, some familiar voices and some new voices. Let's jump into it. Today, we're going to talk to our marketing team. It's filled with a bunch of very talented individuals with different aspects of marketing. I'm going to just start letting you guys introduce yourself.
I'm the graphic designer for Kosh, and I've been working there for quite a while now.
Yes, I'm Modessa. I'm the social media and content manager for Kosh, and I've been working with them since 2017.
Awesome. And Susie, you're brand new.
Half a year brand new already.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow. Time is so fast. Yeah.
Right? So crazy. I'm Susie. So I do pay-per-click for Kosh. That's anything you see as an advertisement as you go through your day on Google. If it's related to Kosh, I probably made it, in short.
I would also say, like, would this also be a bit much? Would you also say that your job also entitles everything Google?
No, it wouldn't be too much, I guess.
Yeah. Because whenever I think of Google, I think of, like, you.
Thanks.
Okay, awesome. So this is my marketing team. There's one more person that's missing. Her name is Shania. She's in charge of web development. And she won't be making it to this podcast today. But for the most part, you got 90% of the marketing team here. And guys, so we're in this, like, weird situation now where the world is pretty much shut down and we've gone into this work from home, remote work. I wanted to talk to you guys about your guys' career, what you guys do, how you guys got into it. The probably the most surprising thing that people might not know about Kosh is that my team is 90% remote workers. And we have teams in Susie's from North Carolina, Modessa's from Baltimore, Shania's from the Philippines, and me and Fren are from Edmonton. So we have Susie's made the joke that it's a very global team, but we got a pretty diverse wide team, and I think you guys have a pretty unique perspective on your careers and remote work.
Okay, so like at Kosh, I do most of the design work at Kosh. I create a lot of the advertisements, the posters. I also, right now, I'm working with Shania, the web developer, and in redesigning our webpage or working on new pages that might need to be produced. As well, I work on some side projects that the Koshes might have for me. we get those once in a while. They're a lot of fun. recently, because of COVID-19, we have been pushed to become a remote team. And that has been a very interesting situation for me because I've been so used to seeing, well, you and the Koshes every day and working with them closer.
And yeah, you've switched. It's interesting because, like, everyone on the team here, from Susie to Shania to Modessa, were remote first, meaning we hired them as remote employees. You were not a remote employee, but because of the COVID situation, you switched to remote. How did you find that transition? Like, in terms of not so much like mentally, but like in terms of like workflow, like is it functional or?
I think it's very functional. There's just a big difference is most of our communications now through online chats, or we're doing it through video conferencing, sometimes even through phone call. Not with you or the Koshes, but like with people that are external to Kosh Auto Group. And that's worked out pretty well for the most part. I think where it's more difficult is I don't really get to see the dealership or talk to any of the sales team. And I don't necessarily know what's going on the sales floor.
So are you saying that you feel a little disconnected from the dealership?
Sometimes, but when I get updates from you or Jordan Kosh, that helps a lot with what's going on.
I think it's so funny. I think one of the most important things about having a remote team is making sure that you have all these communication tools in place, and then also understanding that your culture has to transfer into that. I really do think the conferencing tool that you use as a business to manage and engage your employees through remote is as important as any other tool that you're going to use. It keeps, like, I feel like the connection that everyone has is kind of made through these applications. Like, even just a latency inside of the application or a bad UI could, like, hinder the culture significantly. So I find it very interesting that you say you feel disconnected. I put a lot of effort into making sure, even though you're remote, everyone feels connected. And I'm curious to know what Susie and Maude feel about that right now.
Yeah, I think while working at Kosh as a remote employee is actually my first remote job ever. And I thought it would be a lot harder of a transition for me. I like seeing people in the office, but remote work actually was really attractive to me because of the flexibility it gave me working from home, being a mom, etc. I think actually it was surprisingly good. And I think the kind of applications we used to make sure, and the structure, so specifically making sure we all had a daily, I would almost consider it like a scrum, but we make sure that we talk to one another, we have a point of reference every day to know that where everyone's at and what we're working on. And then the availability of everyone. Well, we used to use Slack, and knowing that I could hit up someone and just go, hey, can I call you? And that was very natural, versus not knowing if the other person on the other side was not there or unavailable.
Yeah.
That made remote work for me nearly compatible with the kind of in-office work that I used to do.
I would look for the green dot. And if the green dot was lit, I feel like I could contact you.
Yeah. So, the funny thing is, I think while I guess other positions are a little more project-based, I think I always have myself to work against because I have these accounts that I'm optimizing. And so my day starts with setting aside what I'm going to do for the day. We get into our meeting. We all share about what we're going to do and try to accomplish. And it's funny. I think I try to set realistic goals for what I can accomplish for my day, but I'll never have a shortage of what to do because there's no end to optimizing in a sense. Like, there's no end to me trying to make the accounts better. So, various punctuated projects may interrupt something, but I go into an account, see where there's inefficiencies, see if there's like traffic that we don't want, for example, because Google Ads is all about the intent of a user and what they're searching for and making sure we're really relevant to them. So let's say suddenly we're getting traffic for people who are looking for car rental service, which is not what we do. Then I need to make sure that that's not included in our account. That and trying to make our messaging tighter, more relevant, trying to make sure that where the person lands on our site is also relevant as well. And
Can I say something about that though?
Yeah.
The one thing that I was really surprised with when we hired you was how important you were onto the website. And because like when you work in automotive, we're very lead based. So it's very conversion based. So that's like, if you were to give what is the objective of your website? Well, the objective of our website is conversion. So when we're going through a rebuild, like we're currently right now, but I just didn't realize bringing you on how important your role would be into the website.
No, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah.
There's some buzzing. Who's it coming from? I don't
know. It sounds like guitar.
I just worried that it screwed up our audio.
It probably did.
Okay. Oh, well.
I haven't done these in a while, guys. I'm telling you, I'm not breathing when I talk.
You haven't talked in a while.
Something about when Susie was talking about the morning meetings. I don't know. I think these morning meetings that we have, they're really helpful in engaging us together as a team, because we know what everyone's doing and what our day looks like. And when we can talk to people and how we can work with one another.
Right.
Yeah.
I think building up on that, I think the morning meetings and Matt was saying the tool that kind of like connects us together is very crucial to our remote team feel connected to, like, we're like all in the different parts of the world with different time zones, yet like I feel like I'm always part of the Kosh team, which is great.
While we're on you, Modessa, tell us what you do and what you do at Kosh on a regular basis.
So I manage the social media content and kind of like the online content that we have for Kosh. Kind of like I like to think of myself as the voice of the brand. It's generally what I do for Kosh.
So we have a content meeting every Monday, and it's to discuss what each post is going to be for every day of the week for all of our brands, for all of our dealerships, sorry. That meeting, Mod, it's so funny. Like, I used to really enjoy it, but now I like dread the content meeting because it drains all of my mental and creative energy. And by the end of that meet, it's like an hour and a half long to do all of those pages. And by the end of that meeting, I am just so dead and drained. And I think we used to do it like at 3 or 2 o'clock, and we had to move it up earlier because I feel like by the time we got to it, we didn't have any energy to do that meeting.
It's not physically, it's like draining now, like almost, but it's been, I think we've been crushing it for this past week. So we've been like getting it done, like two accounts done in like under an hour. And then we just kind of like wrap up the third one. And I have the opposite reaction, because once it's like out of the way, I feel like everything is going to go smoothly afterwards.
Your job, Mod, it changes consistently. Like, it's pretty normal for everybody, for everybody's like jobs to evolve as the industry evolves, as technology evolves. But I feel like, because I'm in tune with every one of your positions, but Modessa's position, I feel, changes on a daily, weekly basis. Like, it would literally drive me insane. What I'm saying is, so happy to have you, Mod, because I feel like if I was doing social media, I'd probably have cancer now. it's
mentally taxing.
Thank you.
I would say that. Yeah.
And even, well, I helped Modessa make some of the visuals for her posts. And even like sometimes I notice that what's being requested changes. And like, it's quite fast how things change online.
Yeah, for sure.
Just, like, and then there.
Sorry, Mod.
With social, there's a lot of like factors to think about, like especially with like situation, the pandemic, like current events really affect what you post. Even like before, we would think up of a post and it would have to be canceled because of some incident that happened somewhere, right? It's also like the tools change constantly. Third party applications and like Facebook Manager, even like the platform changes, like so many changes every week, every day. It's like you have to constantly keep up with it. Sometimes I'll admit it, I can't even keep up, like, oh well, this changed, like, you know what I mean, like then I have to like adapt to it like really quickly.
Can you name all of them?
We've used Buffer, we've used Agora Polls, we've used Sendable, and now we've used Sprout Social. Each of these platforms have kind of like their own pros and cons.
Do you have a favorite one?
Favorite is Sprout Social, just because there's so many you can use with it. And I really like their competitor analysis reports, because we can gauge ourselves against our competitors.
That sounds really useful.
Yeah. And, hey, Maude, one thing that I really liked that you said is that you see yourself as the voice of the brand, and you really are. I think it's, like, probably one of the most important things we've done is develop a communication guide, even though I don't think we've updated it in a while, and I think it's evolved since then. Yeah. But it was a really important exercise that we did at the very beginning, was to develop, like, what our voice would sound like online. And like I said, and that has evolved, especially on the forward side. On the LinkedIn, I think it stayed pretty much the same. I just remember, like, some of the things we talked about when we were building what the voice would sound like. It's like, it should be fun. It should be friendly. It should
informative. Yeah.
We had things like we even had things that were like super, like, technical, like, we should only have, like, one emoji. LinkedIn should use no emojis.
Right. We had like standards. We had standards that we were even talking about how to even responding to reviews, like what to do with a lukewarm review or what to do in a single star. Yeah. But then again, as you reach more audience or you grow the brand, like, you can see a shift in, like, how people talk to the brand. But, like, mm-hmm. that in turn, you have to, like, update your style guide or communication style guide as well.
Like, I feel like our social media is very much a reflection of who we are as a company. At least we try to. Mm-hmm. I won't touch into a lot of it, but I wanted to quickly harken back to the communication guide. One of my favorite memories, Maude, of, like, developing a communication guide with you was when we decided to, like, we can use an emoji as a period.
Yeah.
And we were so proud of ourselves. Like, it's super efficient. You don't even need to use a period. You could just use an emoji. An emoji can be a period on itself. That's so groundbreaking.
Right. We thought we were like hot shit. We're like, well, a lot of people are already doing it.
And I think I've asked you guys when you first started, but I, like, want to know your perception of it now. How did, like, your journey to Kosh? Like, where were you before Kosh? How did you end up at Kosh, and what made you apply to Kosh?
So let's see. I started in PPC only a year, I think, after I graduated. It wasn't necessarily something I thought I would do, but I was an English major in college. So that meant, from a half cup full perspective, that the world was my oyster because I had a lot of options. So I started at an agency. I worked at two. One of the first agencies, they actually preferred hiring recent grads because they could mold us as they wanted, and they taught us everything that we needed to know to do PPC. And then I got a great opportunity at Xero, which is an accounting software. It's second to QuickBooks. And
yes, Susie, we know.
Some people don't know what Xero is still.
When you applied, I was like, oh, damn, she's from Xero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was a great opportunity. I got to work in San Francisco, off of the Embarcadero, and got to work with some great people there. Experienced a lot of changes in the marketing team, and I got to work globally as well. So since Xero is a New Zealand-based product that went global, I got to work with people in London and New Zealand and Australia, and that was really great. Then I took a break. I moved to North Carolina for personal reasons, and then I found myself feeling like I needed to work again. And so the way I found Kosh was actually because of a website called weworkremotely.com, because I was looking for remote work. And I stumbled upon the job post, and the reason I applied for it was because, one, the fact that Kosh managed to make waves as a e-commerce site, that was pretty neat. And two, it was remote. In short. So I hadn't known Cash Auto until I had found it on WeWork remotely.
Yeah, that's cool. Especially on the remote side of things. Like, I feel like remote workers have a lot of options. And in the remote space, there are a lot of big companies that do it. A lot of big tech companies with a bigger brand than us. But it was just interesting to see why you chose Cash. Awesome. All right.
Also, I think the reason why I applied to Cash was because I think it got positioned as a part-time remote job. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was big for me too, because I had the criteria that I wanted. I wanted to work part-time and I wanted it to be remote. And that actually was kind of rare for me. Yeah.
Did most of the job postings say ask for full-time?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Unlike my wonderful colleagues here, I was green and I was originally from healthcare. So I wanted to move on from that industry, kind of like go into like a different new field. So I kind of like started self-educating myself about marketing. And then I just started out trying to look for like entry-level jobs everywhere. I did it local. I used to live in Pennsylvania. None of them really turned out to anything. And then I started to look for remote jobs. I found the listing for social media manager on Cash on Cloud Peeps. And that's how I got into the team.
So you wanted to be remote from the very beginning. Like when you started your career, I think you said you were applying for jobs locally, or mm-hmm. you were working jobs locally.
I think for me, remote work opens a lot of flexibility for employees and employers. Being able to have kind of like sort of freedom to do your work anywhere, and you can be present from anywhere. You can be like at a beach and still working for Cash, right? And that's... Oh, well, that sounds great. That sounds great. And also, like, for employers, you can open up, like, a lot of, like, you can outsource talent from different parts of the world. It's kind of like you're not limited to search for talent locally. You can, if you're really looking for talent, you can go outside of just your, you know, within 50-mile radius or something. You can just go out there and look for someone that will fit your team or someone that can really deliver what you wanted.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, I think remote work is such a great way to get people that you wouldn't normally in your office. And I guess second a lot what Maud said. I would also say it's not for everyone. And I think if you don't have the structure or the even like the system or apps in place to make your remote workers experience a sense of camaraderie or a sense of oneness with the rest of the organization, as we do at Cash, then I think it'll feel like it's coming at a detriment to the company. That, and I think remote work, it has a lot of negative perceptions that I'm hoping most people are clearing away, but I think some bad eggs are perpetuating it. Like remote work, you don't, you know, get out in your jammies and like clock into work. You should carry yourself as a employee of the company wherever you are. Exactly. And it's just that your office is somewhere else. And so, you know, that being said, I enjoy the flexibility. I enjoy that I can largely set my own hours and take care of the needs I may have, as well as like taking care of all of my responsibilities as an employee. And so remote work has been like the perfect solution for me. So,
yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said, especially about the negative stigma. I think
build up on that. I feel like this situation now more than ever, I think a lot of people like are working from home or didn't think that their work can be done from home. I think hopefully those myths or like reservations about remote work are like being dissolved away slowly as a lot of people shift towards that. I think one of the like a lot of misconceptions here was also like remote work can just, you know, like not work, there's no work being done or whatever, like there's no like tracking productivity or whatever, like but I think us as a team has been disproving that for a while now, that we can just like, yeah, you can, that's like, you know, you can work and be remote and not have to like, you can still get stuff done even though you're remote. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so I think you said this, Susie, but not every company should go remote. And not every team should go remote. If your team lends itself to it, you should just know that certain things do change when you switch a team to remote. Mm-hmm. One, I always say this: don't track if the person is at their desk. That's so relevant. What's relevant is what track their production. Like, what are they getting done? Like, what? So there's these things that we built into our day, which I won't disclose here, of how we ensure results over time. And me and Jordan and Jeremy always say that we never track time. We really don't. We track your results. So that's like step one. That's point one. Point two would be what Susie was saying, is like work from home has this stigma. First off, the word home needs to get out of there. There's this stigma of like you're on vacation, you're not doing anything at home, you're in your pajamas, you're watching TV. Like there's all these negative stigmas that might be coming from a previous generation of management. It's not coming, I don't feel like it's coming from my generation of management, like the millennial. I do, and sorry if I offended anybody with ageist terms. I almost said a boomer, but I didn't. Now I said it. But I do feel that there's all of these stigmas about working from home that are completely wrong, that are very outdated. And I think Susie said, like, what you said, Susie, about, like, it's an office. And I had to explain it a few times even here, where it's like they're not working from home. They're working at an office that's not on our floor or on our or anywhere. Like, so, like, we have a team member in Athabasca who I would consider remote. She works in an office, just not my office. Just like Susie works in an office, just not my office. Just like Fran, you work in an office, just not my office. So I'm being very repetitive here, but I'm just trying to get the point across. Remove the word home and just like look at it as an employee who works in a different office in a different city, but is still highly accountable. Whatever stigma that you have about letting people work from home, it's completely irrelevant to what remote work is now. And Edmonton, while a great city, I feel is very limited on talent. And I think there is a lot of great talent here, but they're taken. Like the people who are really good are working for really good companies. And then on top of that, there are also really big brands at Edmonton that I can't compete against when I'm trying to hire the best talent. So one of the problems I had with PPC and even graphic design was trying to find the best talent locally. And ultimately I couldn't. And so I had to start opening it up to remote just to access a stronger talent pool. And that's how I found Susie. I don't think I would have recruited Susie in Edmonton. I think I feel I gotta be careful because I don't want to insult anybody that works in Edmonton. You guys are all, but I really do feel that Susie's like the best person I've ever encountered in terms of PPC. I think she's stronger than people at agencies. I think she's stronger than some people at Google. She's very, very well qualified, and I'm pretty much setting it up to be poached from my dealership. So any other dealership listening, don't
watch. Everyone just reach out to Susie when they
use this. She's really strong at what she does, and I don't think I would have been able to find her locally. I think people like Susie go to big markets like San Francisco. And I think we've lost people at Kosh in my department who've outgrown the city and gone to bigger job markets. So remote allowed me to access those people. And at the same time, it's mutually beneficial because we offer a lot of flexibility. And one of the things Susie said is why she was attracted to Kosh was the part-time thing. And I think with remote, it also, that's one of the perks that you need to understand as a business, that you need to be very, very flexible. And so again, don't track the results. If Susie can get her work done at different times.
Don't track the time, right?
Yeah, sorry. Don't. What did I say?
Don't track the results.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not reading. Anyways, guys, I went on a huge rant there, but I don't even know where I'm going. Sorry, I'm very lightheaded right now.
That's okay. Well, I mean, like, we don't track results. I mean, we don't track time. We track results. And a lot of the things that we do at the end of each day is we debrief and we say what we've done that day. So that's something that we do. Sorry.
I want to touch on that too. I think that's one of the things that can that keeps remote teams together. It's kind of like it's the constantly updating your employer or your whole team about where you're at the beginning and the end of the day. I think that does a lot for both parties. It keeps your teams informed and keeps you in check. Keeps you accountable for what you're trying or what you're trying or setting out to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just to touch on that, I guess, is the structure. You got to structure. I feel like we did a good job structuring our department in terms of like remote. And I'm almost like hesitant to say the word remote. I just feel like we put communication first. Like above all, being able to communicate with each other is probably the most important thing in our department. And that keeps the wheels from falling off.
I agree 100%. I remember on my second day or something working at Kosh, that was when I asked Matt what was the most challenging thing about working with remote employees, because I noticed we had a lot of them. And he said it's communication and just making sure that we communicate so that everything's on task and we're doing a good job.
Okay. So we're down to the last 5 minutes of this podcast, guys. Thank you guys so much for doing it. But let's end on if you were a dealership, if you were a dealer principal and you were looking to start recruiting, or not even recruiting, but like trying to bring remote work into your dealership, what advice would you give them?
So if a dealership wanted to have some employees remote, I think that one of the most important things that the dealership needs to have is management who has structure and is able to implement the structure with their employees, so that there's strong communication between the employees and also just points where they can check in with one another and make sure that we're on tap. What am I saying?
Sorry.
Uh-oh. I lost my
sound. I'm just joking.
Throw it away. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Do I start all over so you don't have to edit that?
No, it's fine. Just pass the mic. I feel like we're being too formal here, guys. Like, okay. We joke around a lot, so it's fine. Mod, what are you? I'm a dealer principal. I want to do some remote work in my company. What do you say?
I think first you need to establish if you're interested in putting some positions remote, establishing that connection. And how are you, like, one question you should ask yourself, and how are you going to stay connected with the team, or how are you going to stay connected with the rest of the organization so you don't feel isolated? Because once someone feels isolated, there's going to be like breakdowns in communication. There's going to be like, that's when you encounter roadblocks. And I think establishing that communication is the most important thing, first and foremost. So
I think it's important that there's a good work culture, a positive work environment already set in place before you can go remote. So company culture needs to be really positive, strong, and the team members must gel well together to begin with.
Yeah, culture is important. Always important. Yeah.
Culture is important.
Culture fit, sorry.
That too.
Culture fit, yeah.
They say you're supposed to hire for culture, and because you can always train an employee, so they always tell you to hire for culture.
Mm. Yeah.
I think if I were a dealership,
especially in this day and age with COVID and possibly the necessity of trying out remote work. See, all this background noise. With the possible necessity of doing remote work, I think I would first try to make sure I'm having a change of mind about it. So change of mind regarding remote work being this quote-unquote necessary evil, rather than that, it should be an opportunity. And so I think if dealerships can go into considering remote work with, hey, let's try to make this work, instead of let's see if this works and if there's anything that goes wrong with it, we're never doing this again. You know, like I think that would be really important because it is a shift. And like we were saying, like there's the structures and even the applications that need to be put in place. But if you don't do any of that, and if you just try to see if it'll somehow work out, then I think you're bound for failure, honestly. And so if you try with the hopes that remote work is gonna work for your company or your dealership, then I think you'll put a lot more resources and time into making it work. And then you'll see the benefits of it too.
That's cool. That's a good point, yeah.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I guess it's my point of view now. It's I'm gonna make it brief because I could talk forever about this.
Also, don't forget to breathe while you're talking.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, I think the first thing I would tell a dealer principal is that if you're going to switch to remote, you should really look at remote work for two reasons. And I'm giving you free advice. So there's two reasons why I think you should implement remote work. Number one is talent. From one marketing director to another marketing director, to one fix ops director to another director, from one GSM to another GSM, we all compete on talent. We all try to poach each other's talent. This industry is very incestual. Dude, I totally fucking get it. Remote work will help you. It opens you up to all of the provinces in Canada and all the states in the United States. And if you're capable and you're willing, you can also open it to the world. So you never have to worry about competing for another dealership for talent. So that's reason one. And the other thing that I would say, if you're thinking of going remote, is like trust the employees that you hire. And I think that's probably the most important part of it right now. When I think about it, is like when you're going through all of your departments and all of your like staff, try to like not like I said, not every department should go remote. Not every team needs to be remote, and not every employee can handle being remote. So hopefully you have good managers and they're able to see which one is a good fit for that. But ultimately, like if you decide to go down that road of remote work or hiring remote work or including some form of remote work into your organization, just know that the most important thing is you need to trust that they're working. Like butts in seats, that whole mentality, dude, it's so outdated. It's so not even outdated. There's a sense of entitlement to it that kind of grosses me out, where it's just like, oh, I expect you to be at your desk all the time. Like just because they're in the office doesn't mean they're being productive. And that's why when you switch to remote work, just track, you got to have the same mentality. You got to track the results. All right, guys.
That's
me. Okay.
Ruin it.
Okay. It's all good, guys.
I'll get better at this, I promise.
our podcast is back, which I'm really excited about.
I'm excited about it too. I missed it.
We'll try and do it more regularly. Hopefully, we still have. I think we were up to 50 listeners last time.
So, oh wow! Congratulations.
I feel like that's very little, but to have 50 people who like listen to each episode was like. I think I was like, oh, it's getting there. It's getting there.
It's not a lot, but it feels like a lot because like it's just a tiny podcast, and we don't post regularly. So
okay, yeah. So we haven't posted regularly. Hello to our 5 listeners. We're back.
Hey.
Okay, guys, we'll end on that note. I'll see you I guess you'll hear from us next week. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.